This is the Celestial Goddess Podcast. Let's grow and show up with more compassion. I love you.
Well, welcome to the Celestial Goddess Podcast. I have the wonderful, angelic Maya with me. I honestly can't even pronounce your last name. Can you? I want to say Ravella, but I know that's wrong.
No, that's my maiden name.
Oh, is it pronounced that way?
Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask an American, it's Ravella.
Okay.
But it's Spanish, so it's Ravia.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you're Spanish.
Yeah.
Ravia. The Maya Riviera.
Yeah. And then my married name is Enet.
Enet, okay. Yeah. Well, welcome, Maya, Ravia, Enet. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And for inspiring me to continue this podcast, because I was about to give up today. Let's be real. I'm struggling today. But you said, hey, sometimes the best material comes when we're in our rawest form. So thank you, Maya. I love you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
You're so sweet. And something too that stuck with me, I loved it, just at the end of your class that I took today, you said like something about being nicer to yourself, like being nicer to yourself, and that really stuck with me, because I'm like, man, I don't think I'm that nice to myself sometimes, and I don't even mean to be, you know, just like, go, or I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I have to perform or take care of this, and it's like, man, when do we draw the line, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been making appointments with myself recently.
Ooh, I like that. Making appointments with yourself.
Yeah, like dates. I need dates.
One-on-one dates. Mm-hmm. Self-care dates.
Yeah, and it can be as simple as, like, brushing my teeth. Like, that's a time that I give myself.
Oh.
Like, I give myself time in the morning. I use my tongue scraper. Nice. I floss. And I brush my teeth. I wash my face. I have really nice products that I use on my face that I care a lot about. And I give myself that. Like, that's something that is a gift.
Yeah. And yet it's so simple, but it reaps so much reward.
Yeah.
When you have that intentional time of taking care of your body, your face, your mouth, your everything. Oh, I need a date with myself.
Yeah, and then I'll do, in that morning routine, I use my CBD, and then I have vitamins that I love, and I'll do that too. And if nothing else goes right during the day, at least I got a facial, and I had my CBD, and I had vitamins. And that's at least that, like, if nothing else, at least I had that maybe 10 minutes in the morning.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. And you're a mama, too, so it's like you have two little babies that you have to take care of.
Yeah.
So probably finding that time is even more challenging.
Yeah.
But making it a priority. I like how you named it scheduling an appointment. Like, I literally want to put it down in my appointment book. Like, okay, we have a date to go to, you know, my home dentist.
Yeah.
My home facial.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's important.
So many things. We're busy. Everyone's so busy. I don't know. Everyone's so busy. We're all so busy.
Right. Like, just stop for a second. Can we stop and just be?
Yeah.
Be like a tree. That's what I was getting yesterday. I went to the dog park, and I was thinking, man, like, this is why, and see, I need to make more appointments out in nature for myself.
Yeah.
But once I was finally out there, I was like, man, just the wisdom of just being.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a tree just stands there, and it just is. And that just really, like, hit me. I was like, God, just stop. Stop everything. Just be.
Yeah. My husband and I went on our honeymoon. It was in 2019. And we went to Europe. And we brought our son. And we were gone for, like, 30 days in Europe. And it was, like, the trip of a lifetime. It was incredible. Like, our itinerary was, like, something that was so planned out. Every moment of every day was planned out, and we did not enjoy it. It was
interesting.
It was so, there was not room for enjoyment. Every moment of every day was planned, and we were supposed to be somewhere and take a trip and take this tour and take that taxi and take this bus and every single moment. And by the end of the day, it was like, what even just happened? All we had were pictures. Like, we weren't able to enjoy any part of it. And it's like a constant reminder of myself of these fulfilling moments, like even right now. How hard was it for us to sit down for an hour, like, and just talk, have an intimate conversation,
yes,
and let it be okay to stop and just be slow and not have to have a plan. That was something you're like, I was like, what do you want to talk about? What are we, I need to plan it out.
Take some footnotes here. I know, right? Like, I have my notebook. I'm like, okay, nothing on my notebook, but yeah no, definitely. Oh man.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've been, since that trip, I mean, that was really eye-opening of it, the trip of a lifetime, and to leave and come home and just be so exhausted of, like, we'll never do that again. It was like, when people say they're going to Europe, I'm kind of like, what are you going to do?
Hopefully nothing. Enjoy Europe while you're there.
Yeah, I've wanted to do that trip my whole life, and then it came and it went, and it was like, yeah, the fulfillment. The word fulfillment has been coming up a lot with me recently. What brings me fulfillment? And my husband and I were having a conversation yesterday about that. He really enjoys riding his dirt bike. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, like, brings him a lot of joy, passion, connection, all very uplifting things. And we were talking about how he needs that in his life. And it was like, what's my thing? He's like, you know, you want to have something. Like, what is it? What are we doing?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I've been seeking that recently of what is it that fulfills me? And I don't have any beautiful answers to share right now, but it's something that I think kind of we always are seeking in life.
Yeah.
Like, constantly. And it changes too.
Totally.
But that's something that, maybe I'm in transition right now from one thing to another thing as I'm settling, but
how do you feel like you're settling?
I feel like I'm able to settle more in this space at Soul Health and let go a little bit more. It's been something I just saw on Facebook. It was 5 years ago that I, like, almost to the day that I had launched the idea of what Soul Health was.
Oh, wow.
And so I transformed from Maya Yogi was the Instagram, and I changed the name of Instagram from Maya Yogi to Soul Health. And then that was my identity. My new identity was Soul Health. And so for a long time, that was me, like I was the center of what Soul Health meant, and it was a prescription and kind of what I used for my own health. And so a lot of yoga, different types of yoga practices, different products on the shelf now that we have of CBD and vitamins, things like this, juice, that have worked for me in health. And launching this idea of health. And prescription, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a holistic prescription. Mm-hmm. Intentional mindfulness medicine.
Yeah,
it's like finally your time to marinate in all of it. Mm-hmm. It's like you've been creating this beautiful baby, like Soul Health as this baby. And it's funny, right, when I think about all my podcasts, everyone is linked to Soul Health. And it's like now we have Maya here, who is now like basically the creator, co-owner of Soul Health.
Yeah.
And now you have this dream that manifested. And it's interesting, now you're naming, like, well, where's my fulfillment coming from? Like, not feeling as fulfilled maybe as you thought you would, or...
Yeah, so, I mean, it's something very deep and interesting, you know, to share publicly, too, because it is something that I feel we all seek.
Absolutely.
And the sense of community and creation, and I feel like we've done a really good job of holding space for others. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. This space is a space holder.
Yes.
And so people come and we have wonderful service providers, the people, not just the teachers, but the people that are in the service, the treatment rooms, the community members, all of the students. It's a co-creation of all of it. And I know that it's powerful, but perhaps I've been focusing on the servitude to others so much that I've been lacking that servitude to myself. And so when I say that 10 minutes in the morning, sometimes that is literally the only time that I have to serve myself, is brushing my teeth, flossing, using my tongue scraper, giving myself my CBD drops, and taking my vitamins. And there will be days and it'll be, you know, 6 o'clock and I've been going and going and I haven't even eaten. It's like my basic survival, you know, needs are not being met.
Right, exactly.
I need to drink water and I need to eat food.
It's
really valid.
My basic
needs. And so I feel like maybe I'm coming back into that. So when I think about what fulfills me right now, is food. Like, that's the first thing that comes to my head. Like when my husband was asking me, I was like, dinner?
Dinner? That makes me happy. Let's
go. So, the concept of fulfillment, and it's something that I'm seeking a lot right now. And it changes too. You know, I just went from, you know, before this, it was the fulfillment of creation in this space of soul health. And a few months before that, it was the fulfillment of birthing. And before that, it was the fulfillment of marriage. And, you know, so.
These chapters of life.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, too, when you think about the time we're in, because we just ended Pisces season, moving into Aries. And so that's that ending chapter. And like you even named today in class, like that death, I feel that really it's this death and rebirth, this new chapter, new energy moving into, and just, you know, letting go of the old, but with love, lovingly let it go, move into the new phase. And I'm finding gratitude for the little moments.
Yeah.
I think that's so important. Finding gratitude even for the 10 minutes brushing your teeth and scraping your tongue. And, you know, like for me, I've realized I need to make more time. I feel like when I do gua sha and I do that kind of facial for myself, that really kind of, you know, fills me up. But just taking it into account and being really happy and grateful, I at least got that time to do that. I at least have this tool. I have this space. You know, and kind of starting that foundation.
Yeah, I feel like gratitude and fulfillment are kind of hand in hand. Like, I hadn't thought about it in that way until you had just said it, but maybe gratitude practice would really be beneficial at this time. So, and similar to that Europe trip,
like
that was profound in a way that I constantly look back at that and I was like, why did we not enjoy it? And I feel like it's so much deeper than that 1 month in Europe. It was our, and I feel a lot of life is symbols like that. Sometimes I read way too much into things and my husband's like, no, it was literally just that the light was red and you needed to stop. Like, you don't need to look any deeper into it.
Like, no, didn't you see the flickering of this? And then my angel said that. And, yeah, no, I read that with you, girl. It's a feminine thing. I don't know.
So, the Europe trip, I feel like perhaps those moments of stillness in gratitude and pausing for gratitude, that is fulfillment. Like, that's what brings it out. And I think that's why dinner time for me is such a huge thing for me right now, because we sit. I've taken almost an hour to cook this food for the family, and now everyone sits and they tell me thank you.
Like, thank thanks, you.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom. I love it.
Thanks, Mom, for this food, even though I do not want to eat it. I'm going to fight you for the next 30 minutes to eat the food. But it is, it's like the highlight to my day right now of sitting down. And typically we pray too. That's something that's newer for me. That was never something that I grew up with, was prayer. And, we've been praying like over our food and just settling, like allowing ourselves to settle. And my husband, Phil, is really busy as well. And truly that could be the only time of stillness that we have during the day.
Yeah.
And I know this is a phase. Mm-hmm. I don't strive to be this super busy person for the rest of my life. But both of us are business owners. And now we have two kids and we have a house that we care a lot about, our home and the work that we put into our home and our community. We live with our parents, not with, but, you know, we all.
I'm super glad you named that because I was going to say, please tell people about this situation because I honestly am so inspired by you all and I love how you've created your own little community. Yeah. So maybe you can tell the people, you know, explain a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we do. We care a lot about our land and our home, what our home means to us. And it kind of started when I got pregnant with Alder. Phil and I were living in Spanaway in a home that he had owned for probably like 10 years. And I never felt connected to the home. He had had previous girlfriends, roommates, and it just never felt like it was mine. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as I got pregnant, it was like, we need to move. This is not where we're going to have our child and our life. And so we started looking for property. And my parents at the time were living in my childhood house, and two doors down, there was a property for sale. I think it was 5 acres, but it was very highly priced. It had a beautiful view of the mountain, but it got us thinking of, do we want to live next to my parents? Like, would that be cool to have them close? And their house was set up for 7 people. My grandparents used to live with us, and so at one point they had said, well, why don't you guys just move in with us? I was like, that's a little bit too close.
Love you, but
But we don't want to be under the same roof. So, then we all started searching for property. And my mom actually found this property that we now live on. It was 20 acres total, and it's subdivided. It was already subdivided, which is hard to find. Like, it's somewhat okay to find large acreage, but to have large acreage together that's already subdivided, it was really special. It's right on the lake. So it's 20 acres subdivided into 4 parcels. So each parcel has 5 acres. And it just so happened that Phil's parents, my in-laws, were remodeling their house. And then my other sister, Kiara, she was living in my parents' apartment, I think, at the time, and she was ready to transition, and so she wanted to move too. So all 4 of us went in on it, and we each were able to buy our own property, and the timing was just phenomenal for all of those pieces to come together.
It's so meant to be, honestly. That's how you know. It's like, okay, this is divine. Thank you.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. It is perfect timing. But it's not like it all just happened.
Yeah.
I think that's important. A lot of times I hear, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. And it's like, well, yeah, but you still have to, like, work for it. You know, like, yes, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. But it also, like, a huge variable of that is how much work you're able to put in to make it happen. Like, you can make things happen if you want it to happen.
And I love to use the word, I heard this, loving service instead of work. It's like, let's put in our loving service.
Wow.
Because I've heard work kind of triggers our ancestral trauma, our ancestral DNA, like the slavery in our ancestors. So just naming that, that's one word I've learned where I'm like, okay, you're putting in your loving service. Like, how, like you said, how willing are you to put in that service, and how much are you of it are you going to devote to it? And like, what, you know, are you willing to face these challenges that arise, and are you going to show up with solution, or you know, giving up? And
So that's what we did. We lovingly served the property, and we built homes, and so each of us have a home. My parents have a home. Phil's parents have a home. My sister Kiara has a home on her property. And then we have a home on my property. And then my sister, my other sister, has a home on my parents' property.
Little treehouse.
Yeah.
So, and I love that you guys are literally all in, like, your own little cul-de-sac together.
Yeah.
You have your sign. It's like, welcome to the Kula. And it's like, everyone is all right there.
Yeah.
Dream come true.
And so we do. We put in a lot of a lot of time to the property. Mm-hmm. Last night we had Phil's parents, my parents over for dinner. That's something we do frequently, as we host dinner or breakfast or lunch. We're constantly trying to serve one another in the community. And to me, meals are a huge way, like I said, fulfillment.
Yeah.
Because I don't always know when I'm going to be fed. Like, I know it sounds horrible, but I'm just so busy that a lot of times meals get forgotten. And mm-hmm. so we surround a lot of our time together with meals. And they invite us over for dinner. We invite them over for dinner. And so that's a huge way that we feel we can serve each other, is with food. And we work outside a lot. We're adding on. And, yeah. you know, there's a lot of
effort.
Home. Yeah. Home is a big part of our lives. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not in this soul health home, I'm in my home and the servitude. And
It's always nurturing. It's like, you guys, you're always nourishing someone, something.
Yeah.
And you guys get to come together and nourish each other, you know, and like loving each other through all of the ups and the downs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, nothing's really easy. But it's like putting in that effort of how bad. Like, I know for me, I'm trying to bring together my family. And, like, I want to create what you guys have created. Like, I'd love to have a neighborhood where all the, you know, fam lives together and have these dinners and these simple things. Because it's like, even though it sounds so simple, but it's really not, you know, made a priority for a lot of people. It's not even, like you said, eating. I bet a lot of people, you know, don't even make food a priority.
Yeah.
Let alone, like, nourishing your loved ones and your family and spending time with them without a phone in front of you, you know. So I want to honor you guys. I love you guys. You inspire me.
Thank you. It is really beautiful. We're grateful that we're at this place right now, and it really is beneficial for the greater good. I feel like that connection to tribal community, union. When I was in teacher training, one of our mantras was, I am strong, but we are stronger together.
I love that.
And it goes in both directions, with hatred, with love. It's powerful when we when we come into union. So to me, my home life is very united, and I feel like very strong, grounded in my home life. And that just relays out to everyone. Everyone finds benefit from that, from when we are connected and grounded in that way. Then it just continues to flow outwards.
Unity consciousness, right? It's like we just want to unite everyone. That's why I love this space so much here at Soul Health. It feels like this has been a great community, you know, for me that I've found. And and it's just beautiful seeing the unity multiply and seeing people light up. And I know for me, like, I found fulfillment here, and I feel I can see other people too finding fulfillment here, just the way we light up when we get to see each other, and then we made time for ourselves, and then we get to see kind people who are like, you're doing a really good job, like, what's up, you know? It's just unity. It's this little word, but there's so much power. Union. And it's funny, yoga means union. I know, just like diving into the tree of life and the tree of death and all that stuff. And it's funny that unity is definitely like at the top, you know, unity consciousness at the top of tree of life. But then on that other end, reflecting, it's, you know, names all this other darkness, but basically disbelieving in unity. And I feel like sometimes I can feel that dark energy come up. I don't need any help. Like, I'll do this by myself. And then I'm like, what am I doing? I'm making it harder on myself. People want to help me. Like, we want to help each other.
Yeah.
I feel like at the end of the day, like you said, tribe, community, we're all meant to be together.
Yeah.
And what, even when we touch each other, it's like we get this oxytocin boost. And maybe a little tickle. You're
so good at touching. You really are.
Thank you.
You're such a good lover.
Oh, see, thank you for naming that, because I will be completely honest. Like, growing up in life, it was uncomfortable for me to have touch or to touch somebody. Like, I don't know what happened to me when I was younger, but I don't know if I was shamed or if something happened, like, sexually, just to be completely honest. And And I don't know. And I just know that I felt uncomfortable. Like, I never held babies. And I remember one time I did hold a child. I was like, I don't want to touch her funny and get in trouble. Like, but it's weird. You know what I mean? These weird programs or even narratives running through my head. And touch was such a taboo kind of foreign thing. Yeah, foreign. When it's like, right now, everybody, like, I'm just touching Maya's arm. We're just kind of like, touch each other's arms. But, like, this was very uncomfortable for me in the past. Yeah. You know? And it's like, over time of, like, reprogramming and relearning my heart of, like, okay, maybe I wasn't given the love I should have been given at a certain time, and it wrote some sort of weird narrative in my head, but I'm like, I'm gonna change it now because I want love. And it makes sense why I was having trouble, right, finding love, because I wasn't really receiving love or giving myself love or feeling comfortable giving love, you know? And for me lately, I've been really trying to receive. Like, it's okay to receive. Because I feel like now I'm just going down a rabbit hole of...
Do you feel like you have a balance of giving and receiving?
You know, that's what I'm learning now. You know what I mean? Learning it's okay to receive. And, you know, it's, I'm working through it. Every day is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I've gotten more comfortable. Of course, you can tell, like, I love hugging people. Yeah. And I will, you know, touch your shoulder, your arm, or your back, or, like, your hair. And, like, I just want to give people at least, like, that prayer through my touch. Mm-hmm. Or, like, my love through my touch. Even if I can't say something, like, if you're busy talking to someone, I'll be like, you know, like, that's my spirit just saying I love you. Like, wow. I think just deep down inside, I just want love. So, and all of us do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we all go through stuff growing up that we don't even know what it was, but has such a ripple effect into the current day. And something just as little as, like, just giving me a little touch means so much. And So.
Yeah, it means so much to me, too. Whenever you walk in, I know. I'll even say, like, everyone get ready for hugs.
Really?
Here comes Corinne.
Yeah. No, I love it. Good. Yay.
And people are like, what?
They're like,
who is she?
It's like a Mortal Kombat game. How, like, the fighter's y'all know. Ready. Y'all know. And I'm having your big smiles, arms wide open. I'm like, I love you guys.
It really means a lot, truly, because I'll get stuck in, you know, the zone. Mm-hmm. And then it's like it breaks the day up with love. I think I need to practice it more. Yeah, it's been something I've observed a lot, like, with your presence in here, and, like, Maya, you should activate that more within yourself. And I think it's very inspiring, not just for me, but everyone who surrounds, because everyone's like, like, what about me?
Can I come here, group hug. Well, thank you for naming that, because I feel like it just goes to show, like, our biggest journeys and challenges bring these huge rewards. So it's like, even though I come in here, people who don't know me, it's like, oh, this loving hugger, this, like, bright energy. But it's like, man, I feel like I went through a lot of shit and darkness and breaking through shells just to feel comfortable hugging people, just to show up with my arms open. You know, simple things of body language, my palms being face up, you know, my shoulders being down and back. Like, life is just a lot.
Even your clothing, too. The clothing that you wear allows you to, like, your posture is more open and,
thank you. Yeah, see, all these little things are really just clothing. Opening our heart.
You got good clothes.
Good clothes. I got some good little clothes here. Barely wearing anything. Just, I'd rather be naked, so then there's no restraints. Gosh, and there's even the power in that, like, that rawness, that vulnerability, open heart, open body, even just our bodies. Like, I was, like, going back, kind of looking through old pictures and stuff, and I came across a picture where I was, like just laying on the mud naked, and I forgot about that, and I was like, you know what, I need to do that, which I'm just going to see if you and Gwen want to go hang out in the woods and go roll around in the mud. But I'm like, man, I think I need some of that practice of, like, just letting Mother Earth hold me as I am, and then I can keep holding others. You know what I mean? It's like this give and receive. But I guess also, too, right, going back to receiving love just from Mother Earth, receiving love from these little mindful practices of taking time, you know, to lightly, like, hug myself or just to, I don't know, now I'm dipping down a rabbit hole. But, just love. There's so many routes we could go. Just self-love. I feel like now I'm in the self-love rabbit hole.
Yeah. I think it's also an important time for that. I know a lot of people have beliefs that we're shifting consciousness right now and moving from a a four dimension to a five dimension or a six dimension. And,
got chills when you said that.
The chakra system that was described to me like probably like 6 or 7 years ago at this point, the concept of our evolution through the chakra system as a soul. Mm-hmm. And so like cats and dogs, I've heard descriptions of them being a two dimension. I've also heard it that they're more advanced than us as far as their loving capacities. Mm-hmm. Is more of a five dimension, like they're beyond the need for words and they're more telepathic and yeah. such. But that really struck me about a soul's evolution. And I know everyone has their own beliefs about reincarnation and life after death. To me, it rings true of not necessarily that I'm the same Maya essence, but I do believe in the connection to energy. So I think energy continues to flow, mm-hmm. whether it's condensed into Maya. I don't necessarily believe that, but I do believe that the energy will continue to flow. So the concept of the chakra system and moving up the chakra system on a soul level, moving, and to me it makes sense as far as energy goes of moving closer and further up the system to more less heavy, mm-hmm. Moving into more of spirit, connecting into ultimate spirit, reconnecting, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Remembering, right? Our mm-hmm. divinity, our source light within us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know where I'm at in my chakra system.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the chakras. Because that's another thing. I feel like the chakras are talked about so often, but maybe a lot of people don't even really know like yeah. that evolution and mm-hmm. kind of, I mean, I know for me, you know, it's like I learned it through my teacher training and whatnot. But once I did the breathwork training here with Jezrin and doing the Wim Hof breathing up through the chakras, that's when it really clicked for me where I was like, dang. I mean, that makes sense, right? Because if we start with our root chakra, Muladhara, it's like these are our basic survival needs. Mm-hmm. Think about humanness. It's like, okay, you need to eat. You need to sleep. You need shelter. Yeah. Okay, great. And then once you have that, we can move up to the sacral, the Svadhisthana.
Yeah.
And it's like creation. Now we can bloom creation, create babies, create love, create relationship. And then boom, go into our solar plexus.
Yeah.
Manipura. That was a big one for me in the breath work because that's when I learned that this is where we hold emotional trauma. And I know for me, like a tapping practice helped a lot. Like everybody right now, if you just tap your solar plexus, so like what, right where your ribs kind of start to separate and tap your solar plexus. I swear the first time I did that, I started crying. It was like immediate energy just come out of me. And then it makes sense because it's like, how can you move into your heart loving energy if you have all this trauma and dense energy stuck here in the center of your being. Mm-hmm. And then I think about, you know, I have digestive issues my whole life, right? That also plays into digestive issues and, mm-hmm. you know, all these things, stagnant energy in the body manifests as dis-ease mm-hmm. in the body.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, Maya. How do you feel about the chakras? Why don't you talk about your evolution and maybe some, mm-hmm. you know, things you've noticed in your life that you'd like to share?
Well, they were introduced to me first by my friend named Katie, and Katie's always been someone that I've looked up to in the spiritual realm. She always, I feel like I can look up, and she's kind of like helped to guide me with my next step of my spiritual evolution. And so she's the one that first introduced me to the chakras, and I loved the concept because it started physically. I could connect to the places in my body. So there's seven. Well, there's more. It really depends on what line you're learning from. But the one that I learned from was there's seven. And so starting with the root, so at the base of the spine, the tip of the tailbone, and like you said, the root is survival. So perhaps that's where I am right now. Again, mm-hmm. I created the business. I created the baby. And now again, I'm at the roots.
Yeah.
I need to eat. I need to be home.
Yes.
So again, I'm like recreating this chakra system for myself. So the root is typically symbolized with the color red. Your basic survival needs, as mentioned, it's really a basic, the most basic essence of life. And you start with connecting into that oneness, one energy. And then you move it up into the sacral chakra, and then you're splitting the energy into two. So that's when you're connecting on a physical body. It's beneath the belly button, into the hips, into the sacrum area. Your lovemaking, what is the word?
Your womb?
Your sense
your
of creation.
Okay.
There we go.
Creativity.
Yes.
There we
creativity.
Go.
We're splitting from that basic oneness into all other relationships. And then moving up into your solar plexus, you're moving your relationships and kind of lighting them on fire. So whatever relationships, it could be relationship with food, your relationship with other people, it could be your relationship with money, any sort of creation that you are having from that one energy and splitting it into whatever, you know, whatever co-creation mm-hmm. we have, and then lighting that on fire with the solar plexus. And as mentioned, lighting that on fire can... It's helping to bring the energy up. So now we're above the belly button in between the rib cage, and moving it into the heart space. So then you take the relationships, they're lit on fire, and then you add love into them and serving with that love like you do. Mm. So I love you too. Thank you.
Unconditional
it feels
love.
Good.
Oh my gosh, this is green. Anahata, just glowing green.
Yeah.
That's my favorite color too, is green.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been loving pink recently. So then taking that and voicing it as you do, moving it into the throat and expressing the love for the relationships or what's working, what's not working, and moving that from the throat into the third eye, which is intuitively allowing you to adjust as needed. And from there, the connection to... reconnection into source, into the crown. So there's many ways. I mean, that's just very, very brief. There's many ways that you can look at it. The ways that I've always appreciated is on a physical level, what can happen physically. If something's overactive or underactive, what can happen in the body? So like you were saying, digestive, it could be constipation or it could be diarrhea, like two opposite spectrums depending on if you're overactive or underactive.
And would you say, just to like reference for everybody, like if you're noticing that imbalance, what energy center does that refer to?
Which one?
Like if you're noticing constipation, diarrhea, all that kind of stuff, is that like your sacral energy?
I'd say that would be, no, that would be solar plexus.
Solar plexus,
yeah.
Okay.
Another one would be people can easily connect into the throat of like feeling shy, not wanting to voice. Fear of being shamed maybe by their voice, so they're very quiet. Or like overprojection would be, if it was a negative overprojection, could be like cussing a lot or very loud, like the music maybe is that is attractive at that time could be like really rugged, and as opposed to the opposite spectrum of listening to music would be like classical, soft meditation music. So each chakra has what would be considered overbalanced or overactive or underactive. And to me, that really projected me into spirituality. I don't use them as much anymore. It was kind of, it set the tone for my spiritual practice, physically, mentally, emotionally, it got me into that. And now I think it's kind of just second nature.
Yeah.
it just is. Mm-hmm. I know when I'm overactive. I know when I'm underactive. I don't necessarily associate it to specific chakras. Sometimes I'll make a funny joke like, seems like I'm a little bit overactive there. You know? Like, whereas before it was like very regimented. I would practice stabilizing and balancing. Mm-hmm. I would use stones and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, it really is a great indicator.
Yeah.
You know, and a great gateway. Like, mm-hmm. I know, same for me, like with Ayurveda, when I heard about like a Vata imbalance,
yes.
I was like, oh my gosh, you're reading me to a T. Mm-hmm. And realizing, okay, now this is opening the door to start to take account for these holistic changes we can make or energetic changes we can make.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's so
beautiful. I think that it's all these things resonate with people in different ways because we are holding space for self-discovery. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need tools like this. We need books to read to allow ourselves to go deeper. So I think that chakras, Ayurveda, things like this, yoga practice, having a structured something that we lean into helps us just to deepen our awareness with ourselves.
Absolutely.
and hold space for space, for time, like
yeah.
just to investigate and mm-hmm. go deeper with ourselves. And then it just becomes second nature. It
becomes embodiment at that point.
Yeah.
Yes, embodying the change, embodying. And then it's so beautiful because then it's like you teach through embodiment, right? It's mm-hmm. like that's where I feel like that mirror, you know, I can't think of the word, but that mirror blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Whatever, not analogy, maybe analogy. But yeah, that's what I've learned for me. Like, I know, like, when I first started my spiritual journey, for example, and I knew all this stuff, and I'm like, to my mom, like, you need to get this. Like, oh my gosh. Or even to my partner, like, do you see this? Like, and then me almost getting frustrated. Like, you don't understand. Like, I'm over here, like, crying, going through all these, like, awakenings in myself. And then realizing one day, I'm like, I don't have to teach anybody anything. Like, we're on our own self-discovery journey. And through me just embodying and living my change, that's teaching people. Like, and I love just the way you show up. Like, yeah. You have this very, like, wise comment. And you see, you laugh when you say that, but for real, when I first met you, and still, I mean, now I'm getting to know you more and more. But yeah, you definitely have this beautiful space that you can hold for people and just have this, like, motherly, nurturing, calm, like, trustworthy energy, grounding energy. And it's just so, it's so beautiful. And you just being you teaches me, you know? And so, yeah, just honoring that and realizing for everybody out there, it's like, you know, you want to heal the world. I get it, you know, but it's like you heal the world through healing yourself. Mm. And then it just kind of ripple effects.
Mm. Yeah.
And so it's like that humility of, and then you realize too, it's like, I don't know everything. I'm just trying to be a good person. I'm just trying to feel better. I'm just trying to heal my digestion and heal my moods or, you know.
Yeah.
Gosh, journey upon journey, riding the wave. I just see me surfing all the time. We're just surfing this wave together. Like, all right, see where it takes us.
Yeah, truly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. I do. I try to hold space for others to discover on their own. When I first started teaching and getting into the yoga community, I felt similar of like trying to heal everyone and like I think I know a lot and I still think that I have a lot of knowledge to offer, but I think people feel empowered if they can figure it out on their own.
Absolutely.
So I try to be mindful of when I share, and what really helped me discover that on a experiential level was doula training, holding space for women when they were pregnant. And you don't really want to tell a pregnant woman, like, what's best for her.
Yeah. Never.
No.
No, she knows.
Yeah, she knows. Mm. Yeah. And that really opened my eyes to people's processes. And there's ways that you can frame information so that people feel it's tangible for them. And I think that's important to learn techniques on how to verbally express certain concepts of knowledge of, hey, you know, perhaps you would consider this, or maybe it resonates with you to try this. I heard you said you have digestive issues and things like that, but ultimately I try to empower people to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And that came from working with pregnant people, because when you can empower them to, you know, you can see it. You can see that it would be beneficial for someone, right? But if they can make the choice themselves, then they can thank themselves rather than needing to externally give to someone else. It directly goes back to them.
Right.
So that's something that I've been practicing the last few years as far as service to others, is acknowledging when it's time to stop someone in their tracks of like, this is you spiraling down. I don't think this is beneficial. And I've been working on knowing when to stop someone with their thought patterns, but also knowing when to just simply hold space and let people figure it out on their own. And I'm no master by any means, but being behind the desk definitely helps with that, because people come with a lot of different thoughts and considerations, and most of the time I let them process it themselves. And if there's a moment where they're kind of looking, then maybe I'll add in a little, have you tried this? But I feel like people for the most part want to do it. They do, but
I feel like in society it like almost trains you to seek externally always for your answers.
Mm-hmm.
Answers. So that was funny. But yeah, and just kind of even me growing up, I feel like codependent, you know what I mean? And like, well, what? Tell me what to do. What should I do? Or I see that a lot of, well, I just need to be told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, then you lose your own sovereign power of knowing, well, what is best for you? What do you want to do? What kind of person do you want to be with?
Yeah.
Who do you want to be? What do you like?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and building relationships too, I can see that. I can see people who in their past have had someone telling them along the way. With those people, I even more so try to empower them to figure it out. And it's sometimes hard, because it feels good to have someone need you, to someone seeking and then giving them an answer and that fulfillment. And there's times where I think it's necessary, but there's other times where I think codependency has a lot of correlation in the health community of needing someone else for your health. And I do best when I'm in a class with multiple people and practicing with other people rather than home. And this is something Leah and I have talked a lot about, because she'll go on hikes by herself. Mm. And I'm like, Leah, I just wouldn't do that. Like, I'm not someone that would go take myself on a hike.
I'm the same way. I'm like, what if something happens to me? Nobody knows where I am.
I'm like, where are the friends?
Right, exactly. Buddy system.
Who's going to enjoy it with me? Mm-hmm. But it's that concept of being able, you know, she's able to hold that space for herself. The opposing side of that is someone who's so self-sufficient and doesn't need any external answers. That's when I can see thoughts spiraling into a place where the belief system is so strong that it's hard to break. Mm. And so there's the two opposing, right? You have the someone who looks to you for all the answers, and the someone who doesn't need you for anything and has their own belief system so wound tight that it's hard to break out of that system.
Yeah.
So, that just the concept of how to converse with all different types of people.
Yeah.
And hold space with people. Because I feel like holding space is something I do a lot of.
You do a lot of it. It's beautiful. You teach me. Yes. And it's something that should be done more, right? I mean, even I think about it, even in like a healthcare situation, like I work at a dental office and I think about dentists and doctors, like think about that doctor's appointment. You get your doctor for what, 5 minutes, you know, and then on to the next. And I forget where I was going with that, but
yeah, I'm kind of on the opposite spectrum of that. The people that I'm spending time with, and that's probably why, because they're familiar with doctor's visits where the doctor only takes 5 minutes. Yeah. So when they have a space where someone's truly listening to them,
right,
it affects them deeply. For me, it's something I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. I've had that in my life, space and time that people have taken with me and allowed me to feel myself in space. But not everyone is familiar with that, mm-hmm. of what it feels like to be held and what it feels like to have time. And, yes. And for someone to, in a way, coddle you and let you express, mm-hmm. whatever it is that you're feeling, and,
yeah.
and just be present. And Tanika has helped me a lot with that, too, with the way that she holds space with me. Is incredible, and to have her during my pregnancy as well.
Yeah, so she was your midwife during your...
With my second boy.
With your second boy.
Yeah.
And see, that's an amazing story, because you did another podcast share where you talked about your birth story.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I think it was something on, you're like, no, I don't need her. I don't need her yet. I don't need her. And she's like, no. She told me, she heard you on the phone. She's like, no, I can hear it in your voice. She's saying, don't. She's like, I'm leaving right now. And but she made it there with like 2 minutes to spare.
Oh,
and you're
my
literally
gosh,
pulling
yeah. She walked. Yeah, she walked into the room. And I saw her, I like looked up and I was like, his head is out.
Thank God you're here.
And I did. As soon as she walked in, it was like his head was out and it was like, okay, I can let the rest of him come out. Like, it's okay now. Tanika is here. Yeah.
So do you think you were kind of, like, clenching? Like, that was that, like, tightness you were holding until, like, and then you saw her and you're able to just relax and...
I feel like if she didn't come, it would have happened. That birth was just incredible. It was so dreamy. And
so dreamy. Yeah. Tell people a little bit about that, because you had a home birth, and one, I don't want to steal your thunder or anything, but no. I know one piece of your story, which I absolutely loved and blew me away, is just the fact that your other son, Alder, was just in the bath. And
yeah.
You talked also about kind of like prepping him with like moaning and groaning and that kind of like sound. And so he was all prepared for that. He hopped in your bath or in your, you know, you're having babies. Like, all right, brother's coming.
Yeah.
Ah, let mom be primal or whatever. I mean, I thought it was so powerful. Yeah, if you want to share about that, I mean.
Yeah, I think birth for me is, it's much deeper. And I think the more that we allow birth to be primal, and even going back into the chakra system of like moving from that root energy into a co-creation and allowing birth to be a co-creation. And I mean, even the concept, like you said, of doctor's appointments being 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I chose providers that I knew that was not going to be the case. The space that Tanika holds and my previous midwife held, my sessions were always at least an hour, if not longer, an hour at minimum. And not only that, the space that Tanika held beyond being a midwife, of we did somatic therapy together.
What is that, somatic therapy?
She'd be a better description, but pretty much the way I felt was that you've had Reiki, similar to Reiki in the sense of energetic, the energetic body. But the pressure that she used was very light, like maybe as if you were like touching your eyeball, like very delicate.
Okay.
And she would touch my body and it was like so sensitive. It made me so sensitive to her touch. And she would, she did it along my legs, along my arms, and we got more and more intimate as our relationship progressed. We actually moved into some trauma, like through this delicate touch. It brought out some like past experiences, sexual experiences that I had, and which I feel led me to the place of being able to let go in birth, because I think we can hold on to sexual trauma physically, on a physical level. And so if we still have that within us, when birth comes, that's all we know is to physically, the body is afraid of opening, because last time we opened, we got wounded. And so her physical presence was just incredible. I can't say enough about Tanika. She's really powerful. The other thing about Tanika is she doesn't put herself in the limelight. She allows you that empowerment, right? Yeah. She lets you find the answers on yourself. And to me, that's ultimate empowerment, that she was the one that was helping to hold the space, but she was nudging me to make the discoveries myself.
Yes.
And allowing me to do it. So she held just enough space for me to then say, okay, now you go do what you need to do, you know?
Yeah.
So I did deep listening with her, and that was like an hour session where she just simply listened to me, and the stuff that came out of my mouth, like I had no idea it was going to come up before the session started, and just the regurgitation. And I think that the mouth in birth, the vocals of the mouth are very connected to the vagina as well. So yes. When your jaw is tense, your vagina is tense. When your vocals are open, the vagina is open. The skin that's inside of the mouth is like that same soft skin that's inside of the vagina. So the two of them are very connected. And within both births, I did a lot of exposure through the throat and mouth, which directly connected to exposure of the womb and of the canal.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have done a lot of womb work and healing areas as well, where I was very tense and closed verbally and sexually.
Yeah.
And all of that led into the most magical, pleasurable birth with this my first son as well was very magical. His physically, I was a lot tighter. And with my second boy, I did a lot more physical work to loosen, like massage and like really deeply releasing scar tissue and
And do you do that
tension
before, like in preparation to birth? Mm-hmm. Like kind of like yoni mapping too?
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yoni mapping, yeah, massage. And pleasure, like pleasure, self-pleasure wasn't something I was familiar with ever. Like self-pleasure was not something that I ever practiced. Mm. And with my second son, I was really drawn to that. That was coming out for me of this concept of letting that be okay. And it came in the form of the physical. I had the idea that if I can open up my body physically, maybe I won't tear as much. Mm-hmm. And so then I started doing more massage, yoni mapping. I had yoni eggs, things like this that physically would open my body. And then that it led to, maybe I can hold this space of opening and massaging and allowing pleasure. Maybe it doesn't have to just be like, you know, when you get deep tissue and you're kind of tense.
Yeah.
And so then it led into like, oh, I can actually relax while I'm doing this, and I can open the scar tissue and I can expand myself, and it can be pleasurable. Mm-hmm. And so then those thought patterns led into the birth of, whoa, he can like come down. And that can be pleasurable. Like me opening my body in this way can be pleasurable.
Yeah.
The concept of pleasure birthing, which not a whole lot of people are really familiar with or have the desire to practice it.
Absolutely. And even I bet just saying that, pleasurable birth, triggers people. They're like, oh God, no, no. I've had a coworker that told me, oh, just go to the hospital and get a C-section. Like, don't even try. And I'm like, it blows my mind. I mean, but yeah. I love that you know, are all about this pleasurable birthing. And like, for me to be completely honest and vulnerable and open, you know, I was pregnant October 2019. And it's funny, before I even knew you, my friend, so Alicia's friend, Kimmy, all these people I've had on the podcast. So Kimmy was like, oh, my friend Alicia just had a baby. You need to meet Maya. This is when you were pregnant with Hawthorne and you were doing your prenatal yoga classes. And I saw these beautiful pictures of you in like white swimsuit or something. You're just in the woods like this fairy, this pregnant fairy.
I wasn't even pregnant in those. Yes, so, I mean, this is the beautiful concept of pregnancy, right? And birth is, a lot of people felt I was pregnant in that because it became an embodiment. Mm-hmm. After I had my first son, it just, I was in up. That essence of pregnancy and what that meant to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So wait, you weren't, because you had Hawthorne, I thought you were pregnant at the end of 2019, were you not?
I was, but those pictures were...
Oh, but those pictures weren't... Oh, the pictures were older. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. But then I love, like, embracing it, like you said, because it's like, my body created a child, two children. Like, mm-hmm. let's embrace this belly. Let's embrace my body. Let's... You know what I mean? Because, right, I think about the shaming around women's bodies, and then it's like... You know, like you said, you're not even pregnant in those photos, and then a lot of people would be offended by that, but you are in this, like, goddess energy of, like, this, my body made this baby, like, and I love that, like, empowering the woman body, because it doesn't need to look a certain way, mm-hmm. you know, and it is this powerful opening and closing, and, So, okay, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
But still a goddess in photos. I was like, I need to see her. And then long story short, me ended up having a really hard miscarriage, but I was referred to you, and that's when I started researching, not necessarily pleasurable birth, but the concept of allowing the baby to come out versus forcing the baby to come out, and that was super powerful for me, and just relaxing, like I think about what you said, opening your body up, so it's like allowing everything to relax so that your cervix, you know, your womb can just do the work, you know, and being, and then so, you know, now I want to hear about your experience. You incorporate pleasure into that feeling of your cervix just working. Like, how was that for you?
Well, I think another correlation is the concept, you know, how I was saying earlier that I can take everything to a deeper level.
Yes.
And, like, at a stop sign, reading way too much into it, right? Like, he's telling us to stop.
We need to turn around right now.
But the same concept for birth, I really take that to a deeper level. So starting with the relationships, immediately, I knew the support needed to be there. I'm not going to choose someone who only gives me 5 minutes. Mm. I'm not going to choose a hospital because, for me, hospitals mean death and bad things. So to me, that wasn't the right choice. The thing with birth, I'll speak from my truth, but important for your listeners to know that their birth story is very important for them to be authentic in. So just because I had a home birth, and to me that's the right thing, absolutely was the right thing for me. The decisions that I made and the pleasurable birthing, to me, all of that is associated with the type of life that I'm living. So the people that I'm surrounding myself with, the space that they're holding, that makes sense for my life. For me to have a home birth, that seems appropriate. So all of these little decisions that I'm making throughout my pregnancy are correlated into the birth that I want to have. Mm. And so I set myself up to have that birth based on the decisions. And
it's like that supportive foundation, mm-hmm. which led towards more of those decisions.
Yeah. So if someone has the desire to have a non-medicated birth, it doesn't just happen. There needs to be preparation. How do you handle pain?
Right.
How does your body respond to pain? Mm. Where do you tend to clench? Where do you tend to squeeze? And these are things that I practice in that room, in the yoga shala, is to hold space for myself, to show up for myself, and how do I be present with myself? So a lot of these practices that I do really held space for birth. And to some people, they're flabbergasted, you know, to have a home birth, no medication, pleasure birthing. But this is what I practice every day. Mm-hmm. I practice a pleasurable life, a fulfilled life. Right now, I'm a bit depleted. So it's not
Start
so
back. Like, yeah. New chapter.
But, you know, this is something that I do this for a living. Now, holding space is what I strive for in life, to be a space holder and to have others the ability to do that for myself and for others. So, yeah, all of that led into his birth. My firstborn son, I was very, very tight. That's very common in yoga practitioners because of all the perineum holds and the pulling up and in. So physically, those bandhas are holding baby in. And so that's, if you're going to prenatal classes, a lot of it, if I were the prenatal teacher, it would be a lot of practicing of moving energy down and out. Mm. Like let energy move down and out.
It's complete opposite of what we practice.
Yeah,
in the
exactly.
Class.
Like let yourself queef.
Yeah,
like hold it out.
I know, yeah. Like, let it move my hips here, loosen the vagina.
Yeah, and that's not a common practice, right? And especially in the U.S., we're so uptight. Like.
Yeah,
everything definitely. Is structured, everything's uptight, and that's more of what I'm tapping into now that the baby is out. But typically when I'm pregnant, I'm able to really practice surrender, and that's the key word is surrender and down and out, letting energy settle rather than holding it in.
Sounds like the roots of a tree. That was like the picture I just got, like down and out. Like you're planting your roots too with your baby coming out. Like these roots you're planting.
Yeah.
Just letting it flow.
Yeah.
Stop holding so tight. Just let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, long story short, his birth was very fast. My firstborn son was not fast. His was about 3 days long. I started on Saturday, and he was born on Tuesday.
So was Alder a home birth as well, your first son?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're both home births.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And Tanika was only your midwife out of your second one?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and Kara was my midwife for Alder. And as soon as I met Tanika, we interviewed them for nature school, and I found out I was pregnant like a week before we interviewed their school. Oh. And so on that day we interviewed them for Timber Creek. I was like, and by the way, can you please be my midwife? I like don't know anything except for what I saw online, and like I know you have to be the one that is my midwife.
Yeah, it's funny because I just had her on my last podcast, and she said that too. She was like getting out of midwifery, and you were like, wait, Tanika, can you just be my midwife? She's like, okay, I guess I'll do it one more time for you.
Yeah, it was really, I'm so grateful.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I can have one of you guys for my midwife or doula. Yeah. I didn't even know you were a doula.
Yeah.
When did you do that training?
I did that after Alder was born, so 2017.
Okay.
So 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So to go back to your home first birth, sorry to
interrupt
that. I was just kind of curious, learning something new about you.
Alder was very long. I had to work very hard. And I think that's another correlation. I like I mentioned earlier, birth is very unique to what we need. Mm. I think I had to work so hard with Alder because I needed that initiation. I was young.
How old were you when you had him?
I was 21 with Alder.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think I needed it to be hard. Mm. That's the birth story that I needed. And I had to push so hard with Alder. He was like stuck. And she looked at me when I was pushing and he was turning gray. And I had been pushing for like 3 hours at that point. And pushing 3 hours is a long time.
Like, oh, okay.
With Hawthorne, I pushed like he came out real fast. Yeah, it was like maybe 5 minutes.
No way!
Yeah,
wow. Is that like once the cervix is finally dilated and that's that pushing time you're talking about?
Yeah. So okay. You like as far as like the logical mind will think about it is you get to a 10 centimeters dilated, and then you start pushing.
Okay.
So he was, I had to work very hard. After I had him, I bled out a lot, which I was home. So that was a thing that I was bleeding at home. And I got, after birth, she gave me a Pitocin shot to help stop the bleeding. Pitocin is the medical version of the natural hormone that we release, which is oxytocin. And when you have, like the love hormone, when you have oxytocin, it helps the uterus to contract, which stops the blood. So.
Oh, interesting. Because they give you Pitocin if you need your uterus to contract to like push the baby out. But then I didn't know they use it afterwards to stop the bleeding.
So the reason you're bleeding is because your, the reason I was bleeding, I should say, is because when I delivered the placenta is large, if you can imagine, like the size of a steak, and that wound is inside your body.
Mm. Oh, because you now have pushed out this brand new organ your body just created. Now you have this wound from where the placenta left you.
Yes.
Okay.
So that needs to contract. And my body was so tired after 3 days of labor that it was like, we're not going to contract anymore. We're tired of contracting. So I a lot of blood. If I was in the hospital, they said I would have a blood transfusion.
What?
And so she gave me Pitocin. That helped to stop the blood. But at that point, it had already happened. So my first 2 weeks of postpartum were very heavy because of the blood loss. I was low on iron at that point, and just the first time I stood up, I fell over, and it was, I needed help to walk around. And not only that, I tore really bad with Alder. And so physically I just felt like crap. And then to have a new baby, my first baby, and I thought I knew what was coming. I had no idea. It was like, it was very dark.
Wow.
And yeah, and I always thought that postpartum, because of that, I thought postpartum had to be dark. And when people would say, oh, you're just gonna melt over your baby, I never felt that with Alder. Like, it took me a very long time to fall in love with him.
Wow.
At this point, we've created a bond and a relationship, but I think that initial shock on my body was really rough. And now, with Hawthorn, I really did not want that experience. I didn't want a tear. That's why I started doing all of the yoni mapping and the self-massage and all those things. And I think Alder's was equally as desirable as far as what I needed at that time.
Right, yeah.
But Hawthorne's was fun because the pleasure truly was there.
Yeah.
And it just happened so fast. It was 4 hours from start to finish. I stood up and my water broke, and then I remember giggling, like, in the middle. Contractions would come, and I was just, like, overwhelmed with giggles. And
I love that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was very beautiful, both births. But I think birth, to me, is it's so much – if we allow it to be, it can be so much deeper.
Yeah.
And it's a symbol of life.
Really.
So how do we show up in our everyday life? That's – a lot of times correlated to how the birth will unfold. And I know that accidents happen as well, as far as birth or things that maybe shouldn't be called accidents, but unplanned. So I want to honor people who have had, you know, have done all the right things, but then, you know, something goes out of their control.
Yeah.
You know, that's definitely part as well. But for both boys, I felt like the birth presented to me. And I think people who even have had unexpected things happen, I feel it serves us. You know, it's an experience for us to feed off of. And
yeah,
it puts us into that place of motherhood and nurture and kind of settling, you know. First thing, the birth is the first part of their existence, and they have their own story too. It's not just us as the birthing person, but it's the child's story, and I feel the child can choose as well what their story might be, and within the womb, the communication that's there, and what they want their birth to be.
Right, yeah.
And how that may affect them later on in life.
It's just so powerful. It seems like whatever may happen, you know, good or bad, I don't even want to call it good or bad, because like you said, it's just what you need at that time, just to really bring more strength to prepare you for that motherhood, prepare you for that nourishment that you're going to provide. Yeah. Oh, so powerful. Just want to honor you, Mama. You are so, I'm like, But funny thing too, just to name really quick, I was just, something that popped up when you mentioned Alder's birth and kind of that time you were in.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, like you said, you know, you were pushing and it was hard. Wasn't that also around the same time you were trying to create this? So you were pushing and you were like trying to create this wellness center, this this like safe space for the community.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of something that popped up in my mind too. It's like almost giving you that strength of like, you got this, you're going to have some will to push through to create this. And
well, yeah, it's interesting because with Alder, we were about to sign a lease and for Soul Health. And then I found out I was pregnant. And so we chose to stop and to let me be pregnant and to birth him and fight during his birth, right? 3 days worth of pushing. And I agree. It brought something out of me that otherwise I would not have experienced, that that like literal push of pushing a baby out. You know, same, it brought it into this of the motherhood of Soul Health and the freaking push that we had to do during COVID.
Right. Like that was huge.
Yeah, that was a birth.
Longest labor ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously. So was the lease you were going to sign, it was not this space.
It wasn't this one. It was a different one. Yeah.
Where was it?
It was just north a little bit, near like Kohl's and Big Five right in there. There's now a cake place that's in the spot that we were looking at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
See, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, we're here now.
We're here. Yeah. And it's happening. It's rolling. And now there's a new chapter beginning.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, thank you. I think through this conversation, you know, I was, as I mentioned, I was talking to my husband yesterday about what is it that brings me fulfillment. And I think this conversation has really reset me that I'm starting over again. It's, I did Alder. I did Hawthorne and then the business, and I was pushing so hard for those things, and I think now I'm settling into a new birth.
Yeah.
Oh boy, what's next?
Oh boy, what have we created? Oh, so much magic, that's for sure. Yeah. So much magic.
Yeah.
Ah, and your soul is just a delight to be around. Honestly, you and your whole family, it's divine blessings. Mm-hmm. We're soul family. I know we must have had some, like, water life together.
Ooh.
Yeah, something in the water. I know we were something.
Okay.
But, yeah, blessings to you. Yeah. I love you. I feel like this has been such a good share. And how can people get in contact with you and find you and connect with you?
Well, Soul Health has Instagram. It's Soul Health. S-O-L.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
Thank S-O-L, you. S-O-L, as in sun in Spanish. And then health, H-E-A-L-T-H. And we have Facebook as well. I have my personal things as well. I'm kind of more reserved when it comes to my personal stuff. But if you come in, I'll make friends with you. And once we become friends, then I'll let you in on my personal stuff. But I'm pretty closed off when it comes to sharing photos of the boys and things like that. But
and hey, that's good. Hey, boundaries, right? This is where boundaries lie. And that's beautiful, and I respect that. And at least people can dive deep into your website. They can come practice here. Or, you know.
Yeah, come practice. I'm happy to make friends. I'm not going to give you my Instagram handle for my personal.
Yeah, don't worry. That's okay. I respect it. I love you. I'm so grateful you are here. And, yeah, hopefully we can have another share again soon and see, you know, the new chapter you embark on next time.
I'm curious. What's next?
Well, we'll have to check back in and let everyone know. But
Thank you.
I love you so much.
I love you too. Thank you, Corinne. Seriously.
Seriously,
thank you.
Seriously. Stop. Thank you. Okay. No, I love you so
refreshing.
Much. Yes, good. Yay. And it's just like going back to like the simplicity of the little things of just being with people, being present, showing up with love, community, respect, trust, like honor. Ah, it fills my heart up. That's what's fulfilling me lately. It's just being around amazing people and sharing the love and speaking our truth. I love you.
I love you too.
All right. Thank you guys. We'll see you next time. If you enjoyed this podcast, reach out. You can leave a comment, review, subscribe. You can find me on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so much more. I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, and have my own website. It's Celestial Goddess Podcast. That is spelled C-E-L-E-S-T-I-A-L.
STIALGODDESS. Also, if you feel called to donate, please feel free. I appreciate all the support to grow and to reach more people. I'm just grateful we're growing together and we're doing the work together. So thank you for being here. I love you forever.